This hour by Frederick Remington, fully cooked, ready-to-eat bacon. Exclusive, no refrigeration, 10-year extended shelf life bacon. The thickest media center-cut bacon in the industry at fullycookedbacon.com.
Are you ready?
Yeah.
Okay, let's do it.
Bill Martinez Live, a program about current events, our culture, our values, our politics, and our future. And now, Bill Martinez.
We better stop. Hey, what's that sound?
It's President Trump rallying the crowd in South Carolina in support of Governor Henry McMaster. And with voters heading to the polls in just hours from now in the Palmetto State, along with six others this morning, what can we expect? Here to break it all down, the top five races for us anyway, to watch, GOP pollster Justin Wallen. Thank you so much for joining us this morning.
Thanks for having me.
So big rally last night in South Carolina, and it was kind of became, you know, who supports President Trump more in terms of the candidates there?
Right. Yeah, it really is a proxy war for the brand of President Trump. We've got the incumbent Governor McMaster, who clearly supports Trump, vocally supports Trump, so does the challenger. And in this case, the president has cast his particular ballot, his lot with one, that's McMaster, and as you say, with a visit in person.
Yeah, and John Warren says, you know, that he's more like Trump.
Right, right. Well, you know, that's kind of the path they go, right?
Yeah.
You know, one person may get the endorsement, and then the retort is, yes, well, I'm still more like you.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, the president kind of has that to say, doesn't he?
Right. So let's move on to Colorado and the governor's race there. What should we be keeping an eye out for?
Colorado's interesting. You know, it's an open primary. So similar to California, voters can cast their ballots for anyone they want, regardless of party. It's typically a centrist state. The outgoing governor is centrist. It's viewed as a purple state. And yet the leading Democratic and Republican contenders are pulling left and pulling right. We're seeing the leading Republican contender voicing support for Trump, and the leading Democratic contender, Jared Polis, embracing universal health care and expanding marijuana.
Interesting. So extremes on either side. So let's now go to Maryland, the governor's race there.
Right. Now, Maryland, to me, is fascinating because you've got the incumbent Governor Hogan, contender in his Republican primary. There's eight contenders in the Democratic primary. And yet, meanwhile, Hogan is positioning. Hogan is rapidly distancing himself from the president, going so far as to pull the state's National Guard units from the border in protest of the separation of family perspective. That also, at least within Maryland, is a proxy war for the president's brand.
So who can pull further away?
In that case, yeah.
Interesting. And in terms of the Democratic challengers, how many did you say there are?
Eight.
So that'll split the vote there.
Yeah, I think that's what we call internecine warfare.
Okay. Yeah, kind of like what happened in California.
Exactly.
Yeah. All right, so let's move now to a race here that we're watching in New York, the 14th District. So why should people be interested in that?
So the 14th, I mean, all these different congressional races, they're, the challengers are moving left, trying to position themselves best. Crowley's race in the 14th, we have what I think is really a test of the emerging strength of Latino electorate. Crowley faces a Latino activist, and Crowley is learning Spanish. So we'll see how that goes.
So perhaps an indication of how large or how involved the Latino vote will be as we head towards midterms?
Without question.
Okay, so Oklahoma now, medical marijuana legalization there on the ballot. The state question 788.
That's exactly right. So it starts with the left coast and moves inward. Oklahoma voters will have the opportunity to decide whether they're going to legalize medical marijuana. Mm-hmm. And right now, the public polling indicates that it's going quite well for the supporters.
And interesting because this is primarily a red state.
Exactly.
Yeah. Okay.
Exactly.
Well, we'll keep an eye on that as well. Perhaps an indication, all of these races, what we can expect moving towards the midterms.
Thank you so much.
Appreciate it.
And keeping an eye on all these midterms because of, you know, especially in light of what's happening right now. And, you know, we keep talking about the acerbic nature of our conversation in the public square, how it is spreading in such a negative way. And, it, you know, will it prove to help or hurt Donald Trump and get in the way of the agenda that he's trying to affect? It's hard to deny the economy is going strong. Yes, there's some nervousness about trade issues out there, you know, but as he suggested to Harley Davidson, and not only Harley Davidson, but others that might want to throw up the white flag of surrender, is just relax. This is going to be a process. We're going to get through this, but you know, you can't blame businesses for wanting to, you know, secure a little bit of insurance here. I mean, after all, we got families to support. There's a lot in there that Donald Trump is risking right now with this trade war, as some have said, we're already in the middle of this trade war. It's starting to play out. But we've got to get through it if we're going to affect something of a positive nature that will be win-win for all concerned. So, as we said, not for the faint of heart. So relax
Policies
and breathe.
Policies issued by American General Life Insurance Company, Houston, Texas. Not available in all states. For details, visit AIGdirect.com.
Do you have a family? Would you like to help make sure they'll be taken care of if anything were to happen to you? If you answered yes, you probably need life insurance. Now, do you think life insurance is expensive? If you answered yes to that, too, you definitely need to give AIG Direct a call. We could find you a $250,000 policy for just $14 a month, which means you could save hundreds of dollars a year. Call us now for a free, no-obligation quote. 1-800-910-5936. Since 1995, we've helped millions of people find out if they could save up to 70% on their term life insurance. See how affordably we can help you protect your family. Call AIG Direct now for your free quote. 1-800-910-5936. You could save up to 70%. That's 1-800-910-5936. 1-800-910-5936.
Right here, right now. Bill Martinez, live.
I was blinded. You gave me eyes to see. I was going under. You reached out to me. No, there's nothing you won't do to pick me up and pull me through.
6 minutes after the top of the hour, Bill Martinez here. It's always great to have you along with us, sharing a part of your day. We're going to be talking with Dr. Kenneth Barnes. His book, Redeeming Capitalism, you know, for good or ill, the jacket reads, the capitalism we have is the capitalism we have chosen, says Dr. Barnes. Capitalism works, and the challenge before us is not to change its structure, but to address the moral vacuum at the core of its current practice. Kenneth Barnes, welcome to Bill Martinez Live. Good to have you with us, sir. How are you?
Well, thank you very much. It's a joy to be with you. Thank you.
Well, why Redeeming Capitalism? What prompted you to write this book?
Well, I'm not a career academic. I came to the world of academics after about a 30-year career in international business. Mm-hmm. So it's not written necessarily from the perspective of a theologian, although that's what I am. Mm-hmm. It's also written from the perspective of someone who saw the good, the bad, and the ugly of capitalism on a global level. And after the crisis of 2008, it caused me to ask some hard questions about what's really at the core, ethically and morally, of this wonderful system for wealth creation we call capitalism. Mm-hmm. And that's really what drove me to write the book.
In the general context of all the isms that are out there when it comes to the economy, do you choose capitalism? I'm not talking about its current form. I understand, and I agree with you. It is rather, it's a rather extraordinary display, and it's a bit out of control, to say the least. But with all the isms that are out there, do you think capitalism is one that serves God's intent for humanity?
Well, I think it can serve God's intent for humanity. In terms of, you know, comparing capitalism to other systems, I tell people the title of the book is not Replacing Capitalism. The title mm-hmm. of the book is Redeeming Capitalism.
Exactly.
I'm with
mm-hmm.
Abraham. I'm with Abraham Kuyper, who famously quoted, "There's not a square inch in the whole domain of our human existence over which Christ, who is sovereign over all, does not cry mine." Mm-hmm. So everything needs redemption. It's not just capitalism that needs redemption. Everything needs it. But I happen to be pretty darn familiar with it because, as I said, I worked at a very high level for a very long time, and I've seen both the excesses and the problems inherent therein, as well as the magnificence of wealth creation and helping alleviate poverty, etc. So what I'm hoping to do is see if we can change the narrative a little bit and get to a point where we can bring discussions of faith and hope and love back into the lexicon of business, because they've been missing for a long time.
Well, being a theologian like yourself, Dr. Barnes, I can appreciate where capitalism, under proper restraint,
can do and fulfill what God has intended for his people. That is number one. He commands us to be fruitful and multiply. Another aspect of our faith and belief in him is that we would take care of the less advantaged. And unfortunately, capitalism has developed over the decades and over the millennia, you might argue, to become very greed-centric. And that's where it's out of order. And I guess that's where your call is to reimagine, reform, and redeem what could be a very powerful win-win form of system.
Well, that's exactly right. You know, you asked me about capitalism versus other systems. And what I say in the book, and in some ways it's the foundational principle to understand the book, and that is that capitalism is a subject, not an object.
Mm-hmm.
Capitalism itself has no hypostasis, to use a theological word. It is not something that is driven from the center, driven by a particular mind or order. It's really just the name we use to describe a free market economic system which is highly monetized and lightly regulated. And we call that thing capitalism. But because it's a subject and not an object, it also doesn't possess any moral code of its own. It will reflect the morality and the ethics, or lack thereof, of the culture in which it resides. So what I did in the book is I looked at different economic epochs, starting with what I call the traditional capitalism observed by Adam Smith, mm-hmm. and asked questions about what was the ethic that drove that. I looked at Max Weber's era and modern capitalism and the Protestant ethic, what drove that. And then I looked at our situation today, and I concluded that what we have today is postmodern capitalism.
Mm.
And I define that as capitalism that's devoid of a moral compass and resistant, if not impervious, to ethical constraint. And I don't think that's sustainable, and I want to see us evolve into a virtuous form of capitalism.
Well, what we've seen historically, Dr. Barnes, is when there is no moral restraint, now you enter into an era of chaos. And look at America today in the 21st century, and chaos is on display around every corner. It's embraced and accepted like as if, you know, it's the norm, and that you have people of faith going, this is not what God intended.
Well, that's exactly right. And as I tell people, if we don't redeem capitalism, we're going to hate what replaces it.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And it, you know, people have asked me to write a second book, Redeeming Democracy, because our democratic system is suffering in many of the same ways that our economic system is. But here's the good news. You know, we don't want the listeners to think it's all bad news, because it's not. The good news is we have at our disposal a certain amount of spiritual capital.
Mm-hmm.
We have not only the cardinal virtues, which transcend all religious belief or none, of prudence and courage and justice and moderation, but we also have the theological virtues. We have faith, hope, and love.
Mm-hmm.
And even those things, even though we call them theological virtues, they're actually universal because they're gifts from God.
Exactly.
And we can't have a healthy economic system if we don't have faith.
Mm-hmm.
And faith breeds hope, and all of those things are built on love, which includes concern for the other. And what I've seen is a narrative in business and economics that suggests if we only look after ourselves, the other will work itself out. And that just doesn't happen, and no. It's not a Christian idea.
Exactly. Well, and this is the problem. You know, we've gone to that phase where we've abandoned the moral code and the moral bumpers of life, and we've got a little chaos going on. You talk about 08. I mean, if that wasn't, greed unhinged, then I don't know what to call it. I mean, $6 trillion, roughly, it's been estimated, in some circles of wealth or of property that vapored and nobody went to jail over it. That's pretty disgusting.
Not only did no one go to jail, no one was even charged. But here's the thing to remember. They weren't charged because they didn't break any laws. You know, when people say, well, can't we just, you know, create laws and regulations to fix it, I remind them that the laws are always one generation or one crisis behind the bad guy.
Yeah, exactly.
What they did was they followed an ethic which is in line with the ethical egoism we see at work across the spectrum today, and believed that as long as they were maximizing shareholder value at any given time, they were morally in the right. Mm-hmm. And in the book, I go to great lengths to describe why that's wrong.
Right.
Why you can't just assume that maximizing profit is a moral thing to do.
Right. Dr. Barnes, let's pick it up from there. We got to take a quick break. We'll be right back. We're talking Redeeming Capitalism with Kenneth Barnes. Stay with us. This is Bill Martinez. We are live.
There's a proven powerful anti-inflammatory that absorbs 40 times better. Yes, Nano Curcumin Plus from One Planet Nutrition contains smaller particle size that allows absorption over 40 times better into your bloodstream. Nano Curcumin Plus may also help reduce pain and inflammation, detoxify, and help against heart disease and diabetes. Nano Curcumin Plus is now on sale at OnePlanetNutrition.com. Use promo code GCN for your special discount at OnePlanetNutrition.com. The next generation of nutritional supplementation.
It's been said, any society is only 3 missed meals away from chaos. Those times may be near. Think about it. Our country faces multiple terrorist threats and aggressions from Russia and North Korea. Social unrest and violent marches yet again may lead to looting of stores and city shutdowns. And a crumbling infrastructure leaves our power grid vulnerable to long-term outages from a single cyber attack. When the chaos from any one of these threats arises, the government knows it can't provide during a widespread national emergency. That's why you need your own plan for self-reliance. That's where My Patriot Supply comes in. Get a 4-week survival food supply for only $99. That includes breakfast, lunches, and dinners. Order online at preparewithgcn.com. $99 for 4 weeks of survival food that tastes like homemade cooking and lasts up to 25 years from My Patriot Supply. Get your kits today at preparewithgcn.com. Free shipping is included. preparewithgcn.com.
This is Fred.
Hi, I'm Fred.
Fred's a repeater.
I tend to repeat.
Fred has a business.
I do have a business.
And a problem. Fred repeats the same tired advertising over and over, and now it doesn't work.
Over and over.
But Fred is about to see a vision.
I'm seeing a vision.
Advertising on the Genesis Communications Network is the smart way for Fred to reach his potential customers with the most affordable national advertising rates, period. Get started today with GCN, the Genesis Communications Network. Just email advertise@gcnlive.com.
Looking for that edge during those intimate moments? We see many ads for enhancement, but the side effects include death. At GCN Team, we should change the Healthy Body, Brain, and Heart Pack to the Healthy Libido Pack. The brain and heart are not the only organs that require a healthy vascular system. For proper blood flow at the right moment, go to GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203. That's 877-878-4203. That's 877-878-4203.
Individuals and businesses with tax problems, listen carefully. Do you feel like you're losing control over your finances? If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes or have unfiled tax returns, we can help you take back control. The IRS is the largest and most aggressive collection agency in the world, and they can seize your bank account, garnish your paycheck, close your business, and file criminal charges. Take control of your tax problems now by calling the experts at Tax Mediation Services and take advantage of the Fresh Start program and new laws that may allow us to negotiate a settlement for the lowest amount possible. Our team of tax attorneys and enrolled agents can stop collections and get you protected so you can take control of your financial future. Tax Mediation Services is accredited by the Better Business Bureau. Call now for a free case review and a price protection guaranteed quote.
Call Tax Mediation Services now at 800-301-5435. That's 800-301-5435. 800-301-5435.
Ted Anderson telling you about Jordan Rubin's Beyond Organic Green Fed Raw Cheddar Artesian Cheese featuring whole milk created through ancient dairy breeding. Unpasteurized, untreated whole milk on the same farm the cows graze. Containing natural sources of omega-3s, CLA protein, calcium, probiotics, and enzymes. I have never tasted cheese this good and you need to try it. Contact your Longevity distributor or call 877-878-4203 or go to GCNteam.com.
Bill Martinez live.
We're back with the American 19 minutes after the top of the hour. Redeeming Capitalism, that is the title of Kenneth Barnes' latest book. And we were talking about mores and ethics. And I always thought, Dr. Barnes, that ethics is what ought to be. And that's what I saw the economic community, particularly, you know, some of these banks and hedge fund holders and the like that became greedy and really obliterated, you know, the core value and concept of what capitalism is all about. And ethics is really kind of the bumper or the anchoring point. And they let go of ethics. And, you know, they got caught up into this moral concept, the mores of the time that said, hey, it's okay. I mean, you know, Bill Clinton said, hey, we need everybody to have the American dream. And, you know, they bought into that conveniently to accommodate their ill-gotten gain. And a runaway form and runaway train, I should say, on our economy, and it ruined a lot of people, and it was just amazing to me after everything was said and done, and you know, and here it is, you get the, you know, these legislators who come in and they think somehow they're going to redeem themselves through legislation as opposed to doing what you and I would have said, is that look at, you need to ask for forgiveness, and this is if we're going to redeem capitalism, we need to repent of you know, some of the things that we've been doing here in the name of capitalism.
Exactly right. I tell everyone that we resort to regulation and legislation when ethics fail. And ethics doesn't have to fail. The fact of the matter is, every human being ever born has a moral compass.
Right.
But like any other part of our existence, if we don't exercise it, it becomes weak and ultimately useless. Mm-hmm. And there's been a tremendous amount of research, and it really started with Aristotle, and it goes to the modern scientific community, looking at oxytocin and various physical elements in the body, that shows, that proves that when you do virtuous things, you crave more virtuous things.
Mm-hmm.
And you start to develop a pattern of virtue, and you become a virtuous person.
Right.
So it's not about what we do, it's about who we are. So the question I ask in this book, in a sense, is who are we as Americans, as capitalists? You know, what is the purpose of economics to begin with? And if you only think the purpose of economics is to make money, you miss the point. Because really, economics is about human flourishing. Certainly, I believe that as a Christian.
Mm-hmm.
The Bible really teaches that from beginning to end. And in the book, I give a lot of biblical support. There's over 100 biblical verses quoted in the book.
Mm-hmm.
But I also go back to Augustine and Aquinas and Calvin and Luther and Catholic social teaching. There's an awful lot of Christian thought that has gone into this that fell out of fashion. And we can't afford to allow it to fall out of fashion anymore.
Exactly. Well, Dr. Barnes, by admission, you say you're not an academic, you're more of a theologian. But because of what happened to capitalism, we're going back to 08 again in the rearview mirror and looking back, because something dramatic happened as we came out of that experience with 08. Government came in, a lot of stuff, you know, brushed under the carpet, it became a political issue, and now you've got academics saying, you see, I told you capitalism was wrong, this is why we need to move towards socialism. Does this account for the rise in socialism and the popularity of one Bernie Sanders?
Yes, I have an entire chapter on utopian solutions, and I include Bernie Sanders in it. I include Thomas Piketty in it. I include others, the Occupy Wall Street movement, and I think I give a fair assessment of where they're right and where they're wrong. But at the bottom line, you simply can't replace capitalism with an alternative utopian solution if for no other reason than it's just too complex to do.
Mm-hmm.
Not to mention the fact that whenever you try to enforce a utopia, by definition it becomes a dystopia.
Yes.
So we will hate what replaces it if we try to replace it.
Exactly.
But that doesn't mean we shouldn't listen to these voices of discontent. And I'll tell you, as someone who teaches now, at a theological seminary, I'm surrounded by millennials all the time. And the Harvard Political Review just had research that showed only 19% of millennials think of themselves as capitalists. It's because that generation came to really become conscious about economics in the aftermath of the global financial crisis. So they have a very jaundiced view of capitalism. It's no one's fault. They observed what they observed, and they came away saying, I'm not convinced. Mm-hmm. What we need to do is we need to change the narrative so that people understand that capitalism has done more to alleviate poverty and enhance human flourishing than any other economic system ever devised. However, it has the dark side, and we've got to overcome the problems inherent in the dark side. And if we don't instill virtue into the system, the dark side is going to take over.
Yeah, without a doubt. You would hope and think that the professors in academia would be leading the way to pursue the truth, but I guess it's just an easy way to say, all right, let's put capitalism in the trash can of history and let's revisit socialism. And even with that, as smart as these people supposedly are, I'm talking about these professors, or that you would hope they would be, is like, give me some historical evidence where socialism outperformed capitalism.
Well, and you're not wrong when you say that, but I would go one step further, and I would say I think this dichotomy debate is really kind of unhelpful anyway. Mm-hmm. When you ask someone what socialism is, most people don't have a definition. They don't really know what they're talking about, and they often convolute it with totalitarian Marxism, which is a very different thing in and of itself. Mm-hmm. What I say to people is, look, capitalism is fantastic, but there are limits to what the market can do. And there are some places where you don't have a natural equilibrium between supply and demand, which is what the invisible hand was that Adam Smith spoke about. Mm-hmm. And in those areas, we should look at collective solutions. That's not socialism. That's just pragmatism. That's just being smart. Mm-hmm. That's just saying that in some instances, there's no correlation between someone's need and their ability to pay. So if we group together in those areas, we could do better than if we just allow the market to run amok. However, in most instances, the market does a better job. It's a lot like, you know, biological evolution. We can tamper with the human body and the human genome as much as we want, but nature does a better job managing the gene pool than we ever could. And capitalism is like the gene pool. It's the cumulative effect of countless economic decisions. And every economic decision anyone has ever made was a moral choice. And that's the theme of the book.
Well, at the core of capitalism, aligning with biblical principles, I hear what God said, be fruitful and multiply. He wouldn't have told us to go out and be productive if we weren't capable of doing it. Now, is that the case for everyone? No, it's not, to your point. And I think that's where, you know, some socialism, if you want to call it that, working together, you say, responding to that hidden hand, comes into play here. But by and large, when you look at the core of our happiness, I find time and again, people who are productive are most happy. I think the reason that they've been so cranky in the previous decade was because there was a stifling of productivity, and now there is an unleashing of productivity, and there's a level of enthusiasm that is beginning to reign. Now, the opportunity is, to your point here, Dr. Barnes, is let's not go on overload here. You know, let's not forget what capitalism has done, where its shortfallings has been, and what we can do to really, you know, redeem this economic system to where it truly is win-win and advantageous for those, and especially for those that are less than. I'm going to let you summarize it and wrap it up here in the last 45 seconds that we have together, if you would, sir.
Well, I would just respond to what you said by saying one of the issues we have to face is if we're going to have and enjoy the benefit of this unleashed amount of productivity, then things like wage growth have to go coincide with that. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, people are going to get cynical, and they're going to say the system doesn't work for me. So all of us in this system need to understand that while we are creating wealth, we need to ensure that it's also helping the common good.
Without a doubt. His book, Redeeming Capitalism, available at all the usual places, Dr. Barnes.
Thank you.
Okay, it is available at all the usual places. It'll be linked on our website at BillMartinezLive.com. Dr. Barnes, again, appreciate the conversation. Thank you for the book. Boy, this is a great read, and I think it'll give us some new opportunity to look at capitalism a little bit differently and be encouraged to, let's not replace, let's redeem it, right?
Amen.
Amen. Thank you, sir. Appreciate it.
My pleasure.
If you want term life insurance, call Life Quotes. We guarantee you the lowest prices, or we will pay you $500. Plus, get up to $1 million in term life insurance with no medical exam. You do need term life insurance. Call Life Quotes now.
800-915-9164. 800-915-9164. 800-915-9164.
When posting on most job sites, you get candidates.
I'm the sales director.
I'm the sales director you're looking for.
But when you post on Indeed.com, you get the candidates just right for you.
I'm a sales director with an MBA, over 10 years experience, who's also fluent in Japanese.
With Indeed, you can add screener questions for a less time-consuming route to your short list of qualified candidates.
Arigato.
Hiring's better when you've got your short list. Save time on hiring when you post a job on Indeed. Get started today at Indeed.com/hire.
USA Radio News with Chris Barnes.
Breaking news as the Supreme Court is upholding President Trump's so-called travel ban. The ban that involves travel and immigration to the U.S. by people from 8 countries, including 6 largely Muslim nations. The policy had been challenged by several states, but the High Court has just announced it has voted 5-4 in its ruling to again uphold that ban. California Democrat Maxine Waters not backing down from statements she made over the weekend about harassing members of President Trump's administration when they're spotted in public. USA Radio's Robin Walensky with more.
The California congresswoman not apologizing after she takes heat for telling people to protest and push back on members of President Trump's cabinet when they are in public.
There's nowhere in my statement, any time, any place, that we talked about harm.
USA Radio News.
Finding great candidates to hire can be like, well, trying to find a needle in a haystack. Sure, you can post your job to some job board, but then all you can do is hope the right person comes along. Which is why you should try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com/hire. ZipRecruiter doesn't depend on candidates finding you. It finds them for you. Its powerful technology identifies people with the right experience and actively invites them to apply to your job. So, while other companies might deliver a lot of hay, ZipRecruiter finds you what you're looking for. The needle in the haystack.
80% of employers who post a job on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate through the site within the first day. It's the smartest way to hire. And right now, you can try ZipRecruiter for free. That's right, free. Just go to this exclusive web address, ZipRecruiter.com/hire. That's ZipRecruiter.com/hire. ZipRecruiter.com/hire.
Hey, millennials. Know what you believe and why. Bill Martinez live.
This is your time, your soul. The fight, your soul. You've come so far, keep going.
Okay, there's nothing like a love and truth comeback, is what I always say. Welcome back, 28 minutes before the top of the hour. Dr. Bruce Riley Ashford is with us. Dr. Ashford is a provost and professor of theology and culture at Southeastern Baptist Theological Seminary. He's here to talk about his latest book, Letter to an American Christian. I, many years ago, had an opportunity to debate immigration from a biblical worldview at the Forum in Los Angeles, and it was quite the experience. And you know, God's really clear about what we should do about certain things, but where we are right now is we as a country have abandoned godly principles, and things are not working. And because they're not, we're so disjointed and at each other's throat about this, because you know, the heart of America, which has been influenced by the heart of our Father in heaven, is being misrepresented right now in the current culture. And I believe it's because we've abandoned core values that are endemic to the character of God. And then we wonder why this is not working. Not to mention the fact that we have a secular society that was told and given even more authority when the president of the United States, we're talking the previous president, announced to everybody that America is no longer a Christian nation. So what has that done to some of these foundational principles? Dr. Ashford, good to have you with us. How are you doing, sir?
Bill, thank you so much for having me on the show. It's a pleasure to be on and doing well. Thank you.
Well, I'm looking forward to this conversation here because, as I said at the intro, when you're dealing with a broken system that is fundamentally flawed, just in basic Christian principles, you got a round peg in a square hole here to begin with. So maybe you can help us untangle this mess that we're in and bring some biblical perspective to what immigration and dealing with refugees look like.
Yeah, thank you. So you're right. In this book, Letters to an American Christian, I'm writing very brief chapters that are meant to be fun to read at the beach or in an easy chair, that will help a Christian understand the truth content of the Christian faith in a particular issue, like immigration, but also understand what a good posture is to take, how we can persuade other citizens. And just for a minute before we address immigration in specific, I want to play off of something you just said about Christian principles in our nation. There was a great sociologist, Americans love sociologists, right? They're the new priest in our secular country.
Right.
And there's a great American sociologist named Philip Reif who argued that the United States is in the middle of a 50 or 60-year attempt, historically unprecedented attempt, to sever religion from society and to remove all influence of Judaism and Christianity from public policy and public discussion. And he warned years ago that the results of this would be disastrous. And what we're experiencing right now, I think our nation is in convulsions, socially, culturally, politically, most importantly, religiously. Mm-hmm. And it's why we have difficulty navigating issues like immigration. So where would you like to start? Do you want to start by talking about some principles of justice and mercy in general in relation to immigration, or should we?
Well, we can do that. But I think that what Philip Reese is pointing to was something the Bible was really clear on, and that is that what the Bible says, that people without vision will perish. And that vision is that revelatory concept, or, you know, if we can say the idea is that it's revelation from God. So if you are disconnected from the revelation of God in dictating your days, your hours and minutes, or your country in this particular case, then you will perish. But the other interpretation is that you cast off restraint. If America has not cast off restraint, I say, to a pretty significant degree, we enter into the realm of chaos. And this is what Philip Reese, I believe, was pointing to here. We are a rather chaotic society today as a result of disconnecting from those anchoring, I say those moral anchoring points that tethered us to reason and truth and God-honoring ideas. And, you know, here we are. We're like that untethered balloon that has got a puncture in it, and it's pell-mell all over the place and in chaos. And I see that as America today.
Oh, yeah, that's exactly right. And, you know, the Bible teaches that all of us are worshipers, that everybody's religious.
Mm-hmm.
The question is, to which religion does a person subscribe? So when the Bible talks about religion, if we're looking for somebody's religion, we look for their God. And if we're looking for their God, we're looking for whatever it is they've made ultimate in life. It might be the God of Jesus Christ. It might be sex or money or power, cultural heritage, progressive utopian future, whatever it is. But everybody makes something ultimate, and that thing organizes their life. And the trick that's going on today is that the seculars will tell you that religion doesn't belong in the public square. And so they're busy trying to kick our God out of the front door while whistling their own in through the back.
Mm-hmm.
And like you say, these gods sweep into the public square, these secular gods, and they're unhinged.
Mm-hmm.
I forget the exact word that you used a moment ago, but that they lack restraint.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And that's why I think we're in convulsions right now. Mm-hmm. I mean, at the moment, immigration is, and rightly so, an important issue for us to address. But there's also a couple of dozen other hot button issues.
I was gonna say this is just a microcosm of the mess that we're in right now. We happen to be focused on immigration and refugees coming to this country and that. But tomorrow, stay tuned. There's more coming around the horizon here.
Yeah, you know, and on these hot button issues, you know, that we're all of these things that we're convulsing about and confused about. The unfortunate thing that we've seen with the tribalization and polarization of our politics is that people on the left and the right, what we tend to do is to take all of the bad characteristics of any one person or any people on the other side of the aisle, put them all together in an aggregate, and then assume that every single person on the other side of the aisle exhibits all of those bad characteristics, bad intentions, and so forth. And it makes this sort of tribalized outrage mentality is so toxic. It makes it very difficult for us to have reasoned conversation. But I think this is where Bible-believing Christians can do what you do on your radio show, which is to try to point a better way forward. It's what I've tried to do in my book, Letters to an American Christian, to say something like this. We can combine truth and grace in our political discourse.
Right.
Truth without grace makes us political bullies and jerks.
Mm-hmm.
Grace without truth makes us political wimps or non-entities.
Right.
But Jesus displayed this combination, this powerful combination of truth and grace. And if we do that, we can cut our own wake. We don't have to be seconded by seculars on either side of the political spectrum. And maybe we can speak a good word into a bad situation.
Well, look what happened with Chris Pratt. Dr. Ashford the other day, I mean, he's at the MTV Awards. He talks about godly principles. And you think of all places, the MTV Awards, you know, with all the rappers and the language and everything else. But if you look at the response of the audience, it was, as they said, a breath of fresh air. See, this ought to be an encouragement for people of faith. Because people out there who are in the midst of the chaos with no hope and wondering what's going on, we're just becoming, more lawless than law-abiding, and we're unhinged as a society here. And then, meanwhile, Christians, as a contrast, can stand out and be that light that we've been called to be if we're going to rely and really believe in the God of this universe.
Yeah, that's exactly right. And I think we've got the media against us, not your radio show, of course,
but we've got...
media on either side that are encouraging us to polarize and tribalize, and we don't have to take their cues.
Yeah, but the good thing about it is that the winning contrast that is served up, I mean, look at, they crucified Jesus, but after everything was said and done, they're going, what did we do here? And we're not here for this world. We're here to be a catalyst and make a difference, as you say, in truth and grace, following the example of Jesus. And, this is the higher calling that we're being called to right now. And I think it's an exciting time, but we want to make sure that we stay on the winning side. Dr. Ashford, Bruce Riley Ashford is with us, and more from him on the other side of the break. Stay with us.
Finding great candidates to hire can be like, well, trying to find a needle in a haystack. Sure, you can post your job to some job board, but then all you can do is hope the right person comes along. Which is why you should try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com/hire. ZipRecruiter doesn't depend on candidates finding you. It finds them for you. Its powerful technology identifies people with the right experience and actively invites them to apply to your job. So, while other companies might deliver a lot of hay, ZipRecruiter finds you what you're looking for. The needle in the haystack.
80% of employers who post a job on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate through the site within the first day. It's the smartest way to hire. And right now, you can try ZipRecruiter for free. That's right, free. Just go to this exclusive web address, ZipRecruiter.com/hire. That's ZipRecruiter.com/hire. ZipRecruiter.com/hire.
If you are age 85 or younger, call to learn more about final expense plans from a licensed agent in the Angel Care Network. The average funeral now costs over $10,000. Are you at risk of leaving loved ones to help pay your debts? A final expense policy for seniors can pay up to $30,000 for funeral and other final expenses. You don't need a medical exam, and you can have lifetime coverage, and the policy cannot be canceled. To receive free information about final expense plans from a licensed agent in the Angel Care Network, call now. You'll also receive information about a free prescription discount card just for calling in. Agents are standing by.
Call 800-540-8816. 800-540-8816. 800-540-8816. Call now. That's 800-540-8816.
This is Dan Pilla. Do you owe the IRS money you can't pay? Are tax debts crippling you? I've defended people from the IRS for over 30 years. I've helped thousands, and I can help you too. I wrote the book on IRS settlement, and I'm telling you, there's no such thing as a hopeless case. Call 800-34-NO-TAX to finally get free of IRS debt. With the IRS's new programs, there's never been a better time to solve your problem. Call 800-34-NO-TAX. That's 800-34-NO-TAX or my website, danpilla.com.
Hello, I'm Mike Lindell, the inventor of My Pillow, and like all of you out there, I have problems sleeping. Pillows would go flat, I would flip-flop all night long, I would wake up with a sore neck, maybe a headache, or feel like I needed a nap even though I slept 8 hours. When I invented My Pillow, I wanted it to where you could move the patented fill to give you the exact support you need as an individual, regardless of sleep position. My Pillow will get you into that deep REM sleep faster, and you will stay there longer. It's not about how much time we spend in bed, it's about how much of that quality sleep we get. I do all of my own manufacturing right here in the United States. I have a 10-year warranty. You can wash and dry My Pillow, and I give you a 60-day money-back guarantee, so you have nothing to lose. And here's my best offer ever. You can buy one of my pillows and get one absolutely free.
Go to MyPillow.com or call 800-870-0305 and use promo code GCN. That's MyPillow.com or 800-870-0305 with promo code GCN.
Hunters, anglers, campers, and survivalists, get back to nature. Expand your horizons with the highest quality, most versatile, unique slingshots and slingbows on the market at slingbow.com. Slingbow products are compact and models start from just $17.98. They're perfect for your bug-out bag or storing in your vehicle. Give yourself and your loved ones the excitement and tradition of slingbow, a new frontier in archery and truly modern twist on this primitive survival tool. Feel the thrill only at slingbow.com.
Bill Martinez.
He's been known to cure narcolepsy just by walking into a room. His organ donation card also lists his beard. He's a lover, not a fighter. But he's also a fighter, so don't get any ideas. He is the most interesting man in the world.
Stay listening, my friend. Bill Martinez died.
Some of this is just rumor, so don't... Don't take it for what he says. Just having fun here. Thanks for joining us. 14 minutes before the top of the hour, Bill Martinez here. Dr. Bruce Riley Ashford, the Provost Professor of Theology and Culture at Southeastern Baptist Theological Seminary, is with us, and we're talking about his new book, Letter to an American Christian. Bruce, before the break, or afterwards, I guess, we were talking, and you said that you wanted to bring up what Jeff Sessions had to say, which was interesting to hear. A former senator, certainly a leader that has the crosshairs all over him, realizing that God is more the answer than not.
Yeah, so Attorney General Sessions, I guess it's been about 10 days now, mentioned Romans chapter 13 in relation to our immigration laws, and that really set off kind of a firestorm of discussion about the relationship of Romans 13 to immigration law. Mm-hmm. And so I thought it would be good if we would start with just a brief discussion of Romans 13. Paul says in Romans 13 that Christians should obey the laws of the land, basically be subject to the governing authorities. And that's one half of Paul's teaching. The other half of Paul's teaching, and really the prominent aspect of it, that Paul repeatedly made clear to the early church that their ultimate allegiance was to Christ rather than to Roman law. And that's why early Christians refused to call Caesar Lord and only called Jesus Lord. That's why early Christians got crucified. But Paul told them, your ultimate allegiance is to Christ. But then on the other hand, he said, but that doesn't mean you can be anarchist. You have to be good citizens. You've got to respect the laws of the land. That said, I don't think the Bible gives us any reason, especially in a democratic republic like ours, to be sort of quietly acquiescent if we think there's an unjust aspect to a policy or to a law. Mm-hmm. And that sort of brings us to the current debate about detention, family detention, and adults and children. Does that make sense?
Yes, it does. The thing is, again, let's remember, God is a God of order. And when you're out of order, you're trying to, herd cats here. So we've got to get the fundamentals down. And one of the initial fundamentals that Main Street America says, we've got a rampant display of lawlessness here. So we've got to get our boundaries back in play, do we not?
Yes, we do. I mean, some people, so, you know, I'll say in a moment, I think there's that we need to make an adjustment to the way we're doing the detentions, mm-hmm. but nobody out there in radio land should think that I'm implying that the Bible teaches that we can have disorder or that even the Bible teaches we ought to have open borders. I don't think mm-hmm. so. Here's what I think. Just the basic parameters. I think that nations have the right and usually the responsibility to secure their borders.
Mm-hmm.
It's just a basic thing that a nation needs to do to know who's coming in and who's not in order to take care of their own country. Now, as we're doing that, I think there is a humane and merciful way to secure the borders. I think we can deport undocumented immigrants who have a criminal record if we want to. I think we can give multiple paths to legal status, different types of paths to legal status for other immigrants, for people seeking asylum. You know, I think that we can, there's a way of giving appropriate penalties. You don't have to give across-the-board amnesty, but we can say, listen, if you want to gain legal status, you're going to have to go to the back of the line. It doesn't necessarily mean you need to leave the country, but there are people who've been waiting in line in order, and we're going to let them get their documentation first, or their citizenship first. Mm-hmm. So there can be penalties, just penalties, that are also, you know, humane. But ultimately, like you say, we've got to have order, and our government has got to stop sending mixed signals. Both parties, Republican and Democrat, have given mixed signals for 30 years. We've got laws in the books that say you can't immigrate, you know, illegally without documents. And then we've wink, wink said, but okay, it's okay for you to do it.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's confused everybody, including the border agents.
Right.
And so we've got to have order. That said, I think there's an adjustment or two that we can make to some of the policies right now.
What, in terms of, you know, I always look at the 80-20 rule that comes into play, Dr. Ashford, where, you know, 20% of policies can affect 80% of the good. What would your prescription be that would put us in that 80-20 rule where we could solve a lot of the problems if we just did X?
Well, you know, if we're just looking at immigration in general, I would say, and then we'll move to the particular debate this moment, this week. Mm-hmm. But in general, I think it is that we secure the borders immediately. I mean, that's mm-hmm. the most important thing to do.
Right.
And then the second is we move to immigration reform, reforming our laws and dealing with, you know, immigrants who are undocumented right now and dealing with them in a humane manner, recognizing that they're created in the image and likeness of God.
Yes,
we can do justice and treat people with dignity.
Mm-hmm.
But then more specifically right now, the debate is about the Flores consent decree, which, you know, has not allowed the government to detain undocumented children for more than 20 days.
Mm-hmm.
Be concise to the extreme. Here's the trick. The Trump administration has not enacted new laws. They're just applying one aspect of the law differently. And here's mm-hmm. the trick. If you've got an adult who has immigrated with a child and is not documented, you've got two options. So we've been told. You can release the adult and the child together. The problem with that is just there's very little chance that you'll find the adult again.
Exactly. 80%. 80% don't even come back is what the general consensus is right now.
And there's been a 315% increase in fraud just this year, mm-hmm. you know, on these instances. But on the other hand, the only other option we've been told is to detain the adult while releasing the child and sending the child away.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm arguing that there's actually a third way. There's a way you can detain the adult and then release the child. Release is a legal term.
Mm-hmm.
Release the child, but keep the child on property near the parent.
Right.
And, you know, for me, I think that something like that is a better way forward. And you can't, I mean, I don't want someone to tell me that Congress can't. There's a lot of smart people in Congress. They fool mm-hmm. us sometimes and make us think they're not, but they're very
right.
smart. And they, together with the president, you know, we can find a way to do that. And there have been some steps in that direction
right.
this week.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Yeah, I would agree. And we've got to, you know, it's like it's been said many times that good policy makes for good politics. And you got to do it in that order. It starts with good policy. and then politics will follow. It's not the other way around, and that's what's kind of, you know, clogging up the process here, is we're heavy on politics and not strong on policy, as you say, even from your initial opening and talking about grace and mercy here. I mean, what are we trying to accomplish with this immigration program? And I think we got to go back and realize that, like in any organization, when you're off track, okay, what is on track look like? What is the ideal immigration program supposed to be looking like? And go for that standard. Right now, I'm not sure what the standard is and what everybody agrees on right now.
Yeah, you know, one of the negative things in the past 10 or 20 years, we have seen the breakdown of Congress, that Congress has been unable to carry on a sustained and constructive debate about the most grave and serious legal and policy issues in America, and the inability to make clear policy.
Mm-hmm.
It's because we're so tribalized, and we've got to find a way of electing politicians who can do that and then encouraging them to do that.
Exactly.
I think another problem we've got is we have given up on the process of politics and on hammering out the right types of compromises. In a democratic republic with the diversity we've got, we can't get everything we want.
Mm-hmm.
And right now, it seems like the two sides are lined up saying, we're either going to get everything we want, or we're going to block everything else you do.
Yeah.
Democratic congressmen are doing that to Republicans right now.
Right, as the Republicans did to Democrats previously.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's this cycle, and we've got to break the cycle somehow. We've got to vote for we've got to find a way of making our voice clear, and we can make our – If you're out there in radio land and you're asking, how can I make my voice heard? We have lots of ways of doing that. Local is more important than national in many ways. Make
right.
your voice heard locally in coffee shop conversations. Make it heard on Facebook. Don't use all caps and exclamation marks.
Right, right.
And don't yell and be ugly. But make your voice heard and do it in a way that would please and honor the Lord.
Amen.
Write a letter to your congressman. I mean, Bill, I mean, can you think of other examples? I'm trying to think of how, you know, we feel disempowered, that we
right.
can't really make a contribution.
Well, because we're not activated. See, the clarion call here from this radio show is we need, I mean, a time such as this demands an activated citizenry. The reason that we are here is because of abject neglect. Understand, look at, you know, everybody's busy, you got families to run, okay. and this sort of thing, but you don't have 5 minutes to participate in government, and then you wonder why the elites have taken over, and you find the government that you have, because suddenly you've woken up and go, whoa, wait a minute. You know, the problem is right in the mirror. I mean, it starts with us. I mean, when you say our U.S. Constitution says very clearly, we the people, that means we are the boss of them. And if something else is being demonstrated that does not reflect that we the people are in charge, it's because we the people have abdicated our authority position.
Bill, thank you so much. It has been great to be on the show. If I could just say to those of you in radio land, I'd love for you to buy my book, Letters to an American yeah. Christian, where I'm trying to do in that book what Bill does in this show, which is to equip you to step out there in the public debate and be confident about your Christian beliefs, but also to interact in a manner that's characterized by both truth and grace.
Amen.
It's Letters to an American Christian, available on Amazon. And thank you so much, Bill.
Well, we appreciate it. Bruce, I want to remind everybody, for more information, you can go to his website, BruceAshford.net, and look forward to having you back on the show more often. Okay, Bruce, we're looking forward to it. Thank you so much. Appreciate it.
Thank you, Bill.
You take care.
Hi, I'm Dr. Bill Deagle, MD, AAEM, ACAM, A4M, of NutraMedical.com, and a consultant providing email advice free on advanced protocols for your optimized wellness and advanced technologies to heal and regenerate you. You can contact us at NutraMedical.com, that's NutriMedical.com, or 888-212-8871. You get free email starter protocols of our top medical-grade nutraceuticals, initial testing, and recommendations for your own primary doctor to do, as well as recommendations to give you an idea of a consultation and a full protocol to try to help you regenerate your tissues, heal naturally without the use of toxic polypharmacy. I can send test kits to you as well anywhere in the world and provide you recommendations for referral of specialty clinics worldwide. So contact me, Dr. Bill Deagle, at NutraMedical.com. That's NUTRIMedical.com or 888-212-8871.
Get the old.